As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
All right, what a fantastic day for a special edition of this morning's Nerd Talk to be joined by world-renowned American astrophysicist, planetary scientist, author, podcaster, science communicator. He's Neil deGrasse Tyson. Good morning.
I love that, like, the word nerd is in your segment.
It's an evening with Neil deGrasse Tyson as he discusses the cosmic perspective, something we'll get to here in a second, but just to share a little bit, like, you were the first, I guess, person in my adult life to take the challenge of, like, making science accessible to mass consumers and just nailing it. Just something that we could all be like, oh, yeah, this, give us more of that. Because we've all had science teachers that didn't get that, right? And they had
Thank
to deal with
you. I take that as a very high compliment. Now, of course, science teachers have the burden of needing to teach a syllabus, and I don't. I can cherry pick all the coolest, wackiest, most interesting, mind-blowing, mind-bending science and deliver that to you. The teacher still has to, you know, stick to the lesson plan in the textbook. So it's not an entirely fair comparison, but I'm delighted to be at the doorstep of science, where people who don't know that they like science or haven't figured it out yet, or especially those who are sure they don't like science. If I can reignite this ember of curiosity that's long gone dormant from childhood, then we're halfway there, because then you have a curiosity that you can then bring to new topics and new stories. There was, you know, a couple of days ago, there was a total lunar eclipse. Were you paying attention? Did you even know to pay attention, for example? And everyone on the side of the Earth facing the moon can see that, all right? It's not just you have to be in one place or at one time. That's like half the Earth is participating in that. And so when you're curious about the world, it changes your life. You become a lifelong learner. And so thank you for the compliment. But
sure.
I don't want to, I still have to sort of keep the teaching ranks stoked with whoever, what they're doing, just kind of hang with it. And you hope that at the end you have a little bit more curiosity than when you started.
Maybe if we had paid admission to the classes that these teachers were doing every day, it'd be a little different. I don't know. I've always been curious, is, like, there's not many people in your field professionally entertaining like you are. Is there, like, competitiveness amongst your fellow entertainers that do similar things to you? Or are you kind of a shared group that are excited for one another?
So that's not how I think about it. I mean, I understand the question, but The way I think about it is, if I'm doing something that no one else can do, I'll do it. If I'm doing something that everyone else can do, let them do it, and I'll find something else to do. And that way the landscape is properly, it's populated by expertise that each can resonate in its own space, if you will. So I have this fantasy where, you know, a few years down the line, many more people are doing just what I'm doing out there. And then I slowly back out, exit the back door, and just go to the Bahamas. And then you don't even know I'm missing, because it became an expected and fundamental part of what people recognize is on either on the internet or in social media or in the theaters. And then I'll just be there. Find me at the beach.
Did you have a Neil deGrasse Tyson that you watched for entertainment as you were growing up? Was there someone who did that for you?
That's a great question. I think what's behind that is, were there role models? And I have an unorthodox view of role models, right? So for me, I knew enough as a kid. No, I'm not going to role model to anybody because, you know, suppose they do something stupid or they do, you know, I don't want to be them. But if they have a talent, then I want to extract that slice of talent and emulate that. So I had educator role models who had such a brilliant turn of phrase, and every next statement they spoke, I was hanging on the significance and the depth and the insights that it would bring to me. I said, if this is while I'm middle school, I'm actively thinking this to myself. And I said, if I'm ever an educator, that's the kind of educator I want to be. And then I met scientists who just had such an expertise of the universe. And I said, wow, I'll never learn that much there. I'm 14, right? So, and they spent, you know, 8 years in college and graduate school. So I don't have a sense of the timing of what that requires yet. But I say to myself, if I'm ever a full up grown scientist, that's the kind of command I wanted. And my parents formed an excellent sort of a moral compass in terms of how to think about others and sort of a progressive outlook on the world. And so I assembled my role models a la carte. That's how I would put it.
That's great. Then you're not one-dimensional. You have more options. Okay. Like, that's good. That's good. Okay. So
if we all want, just this is a nerd podcast. If we're all one-dimensional, we would just be a line. Okay. So I'm glad I'm not a line. All right. And nor am I two-dimensional, because that would just be flat. All right. You turn sideways and you would disappear. So I'm like to think I'm at least three-dimensional, but really I want to be four-dimensional. There you go.
Okay. Excellent. Now, the idea of the cosmic perspective, I've always thought about it since I was a kid, and I read the late Alan Watts, and he was talking about the Earth and like from the perspective of a potential alien passing by like a billion years ago, and sort of an analogy towards like an apple tree or a fruiting tree. That maybe when they flew by a billion years ago, they just found a rock covered in some water and said, okay, that's interesting. And then when they came back a billion years later, they found that the tree was flowering and the apple tree was appling, and now the Earth is maybe peopling. So I've always thought of it in the context of like our smallness amongst the galaxy, but I don't actually know what you're getting at with cosmic perspective. I don't think I could do it justice like the guy who's going to be giving the actual talk. So could you give us the gist of it, please?
You're off on a roll there, though. I said that's a good start. So yeah, the cosmic perspective is whatever you think is going on Earth or how it affects you, it will affect you differently if you look at it from a cosmic perspective. The cosmic perspective, it goes beyond even the overview effect that people might have heard about that astronauts get, whereas they orbit Earth and you don't see borders of countries and you know, Earth is simplified in a sense, but you can go even farther away, and that's where you take in the orb and you see that it's just suspended there in darkness and all by itself with no hope of anything coming to save us from ourselves. And then you realize the task is really up to us. This is a point that Carl Sagan makes in his Pale Blue Dot book, where he waxes poetic, political, and scientific on the significance of seeing Earth from a distance, a frail, fragile place. And for me, my favorite way to think about it is from space, what is Earth? You'll see oceans, you'll see land, and you'll see clouds. You won't see the color-coded globe that we're all trained on. And then you ask, why are we trained on a color-coded globe? Oh, that's so you know who your enemies are and who your friends. Just think about just how warped. This is what an alien would look like. Why did you color code this? This is just one landmass. Oh, if you cross that border, we'll put you in prison or we'll kill you. Or if you know, it's kind of embarrassing, actually, how you'd have to explain all that to an alien. And so, when in doubt, what would an alien think of what you're doing? That's the foundation of all cosmic perspectives, I would say. So the talk is it's a celebration of what we've come to learn about the universe. Give us a shout out for that, just as a species, but also so much of what we learn tells us how small we are. So if you have a fragile ego, the cosmic perspective is going to put you through some work there to recognize that, yeah, okay, yes, we are small in time, in space, in frailty, all, yes, it's all true. However, the atoms of our bodies are traceable to stars that lived billions of years ago that exploded and scattered that enrichment into newly forming star systems of which we are one. So it's not that we're in the universe, which of course we are, but that's not the way to think about it. It's not that we're here and the universe is there. It's that our molecules are traceable to the universe. So yes, we're alive in the universe, but more important, the universe is alive within us.
That's so much more emotional. That's not heady physics things that you're speaking of.
Well, I'm just trying to tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Not everything is a formula. Some things are our understandings of what formulas bring. So that's where the perspective comes. And I am sifting science, especially the astrophysical science, and finding the things that ideally would enhance, change, but be more specific about that, enhance your understanding of ourselves relative to each other, and especially ourselves relative to the universe. So, just think about it. You can sit in a college class and listen to a lecture. You're supposed to take notes, and you might be given a test on that. But occasionally, someone might give a speech. Well, if somebody's giving a speech, are you taking notes? No, they're giving a speech. Well, what's the point of a speech then? Oh, it's to shift your mood. It's to create a different sense of the world at the end of the speech that you didn't have before the speech. And what I'm doing on stage with full visuals and video and all of my psycho-emotional energy, I'm delivering to you an understanding of the universe brought to you by the methods and tools of science, sifted through the lens of an astrophysicist. And it's my goal that by the end of the night, you're going to be different, not physically different, but emotionally different,
sure,
intellectually different. And if so, then I have succeeded.
You've succeeded already just in this talk. So congratulations. That's amazing. Neil deGrasse.
Nobody has to come. Just stay home. Save your money. No, but it's weird that these are in theaters, right? You're not coming to a lecture hall.
Right.
I'm in a theater, and I don't take that lightly. These are theaters that you would go to see comedians or concerts or plays or musicals. These are real theaters. And I don't take it lightly when I'm invited by a city to bring science into a theater. It's a reminder to me that at least some people recognize the value of mainstreaming science. Okay. Science is not just this thing somebody's talking about and you walk by them because you're done and you want to move on with your life. Science is all around us. Science is everywhere. It infuses everything. And in fact, it infuses decisions we make about the future of civilization. And when scientists look at people arguing politically over a scientifically established objective truth, that is a sad day on Earth. That is the unraveling of an informed democracy. Because if you're arguing about things that are established science, but you don't like the results of the established science, and so therefore you gained a few pounds this week. So next week, you're going to protest the laws of gravity because they did not fulfill your wishes about how you want the world to be. That's what looks like.
I hear you loud and clear there. Okay. A couple quick questions to wrap up here. From your perspective, from your position, what's going to bring our demise? Is it going to be humans or like a big rock smushing us from?
But it's pretty clear zombies. It's okay. Pretty clear.
Just add that to my notes here. Good, good, good.
Zombies as sci-fi as they are, they're quite fertile as a sci-fi concept, as you surely know.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back for a moment and ask, what's going on in a zombie world? Well, there are people who used to run the power plant who've become zombies. Now they're not running the power plant. So what happens? You run out of power. There are people in the supply chain of goods and services who got zombified. Now they're not driving the trucks. They're not delivering goods and services. And so slowly, everything that you valued about civilization dismantles. That's kind of what happened in early COVID.
Wait a second. This feels familiar to me.
This is what I'm trying to say. Okay? There are allegorical lessons to the zombie apocalypse, where if there's some killer virus and it slowly starts taking out sectors of society, eventually all of civilization stalls. And then it becomes a free-for-all at that point. Okay, people set up their own fiefdoms. And we are a hair's width from savagery. I mean, just think about it. What is civilization? This is another cosmic perspective. What is civilization if not the rules we have set up for ourselves so that we don't slaughter everybody every day out of tribal anger? I mean, just think of the tribalism that arises even when it doesn't have to. All right. You know, it happens even on levels when you go to a sporting event.
Sure.
People cheering for one team and cheering for why? Because they happen to play in your hometown. Did the players come from your hometown? No. They got traded out of 12 other places. But they're my home team and we're gonna fight and we're gonna argue. Okay, no one dies from that, of course. But that's just a microcosm of how swiftly we will oppose other people for any reason at all that's judged to be different. And without civilization to keep that in check, oh my gosh, it's a free for all. You might as well just all move back to the cave because that's where we're headed.
Exciting. Zombies. Okay.
Oh, by the way, I just wrote a book. It's not out yet, so don't look for it yet. It's not until September, but it's titled Starry Messenger: Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization. So there are topics in there, gender and identity, color and race, law and order, life and death, risk and reward. All of these topics are addressed in there from cosmic perspectives in a scientifically literate way. And so I'm finally getting it all in one place. You're getting snippets of it in these presentations.
Real quick, I'm sorry if you got to go. I totally understand, but this one's easy. I'm looking over your shoulder. I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite planet? And I would hope beyond Earth.
Favorite planet beyond Earth. Yeah, good, because Earth is my favorite planet. After that, there's no question about it, be Saturn. Stunning with its ring system and there's just no, in fact, in my talk, I'm going to be giving some fascinating, very high res views of Saturn that just, you have to gasp when you see them. Views taken by satellites that were sent, a billion miles away to take these images. It's weird. NASA and the scientific community and rocket scientists and the whole, we can send spacecraft to planets. We can photograph the black holes in the centers of galaxies. And then we say, this vaccine will help you. No, it won't.
Sent a
spacecraft to freaking Saturn. Okay.
There was nothing more indicative of that than the last NASA administrator who came in and was like, I don't believe in climate change. And then sat down with the nerds and they were like, here's all the evidence. And he's like, oh yeah, actually.
Right. So, interesting. You remember that. That was, I forgot his name.
Bridensworth.
Yeah. Bridenstine. Bridenstine. Yeah. So that means he was open to reason. Yeah. You can't hit someone over the head just for thinking something crazy or unsubstantiated if they have not been exposed to data. But if you have and you still don't, then where is that coming from? What happened? What's missing in your school's education to not know what it means to understand data and what data show? I don't really blame people. I blame there's some gaps in the school system. People want to teach reading, writing, arithmetic. Well, one of them should be also teach reason. Okay. Add another R, the four R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and reason. And if you don't know how to reason, I don't see how you can function in a world where being able to reason will make the difference between a civilization that works and a civilization that doesn't.
Blank check, which planet are you sending a probe to find out more?
Oh, I see. You're thinking small. You're saying, oh, let's do, what's the next thing? And I'm saying, turn the whole solar system into our backyard. Explore it all.
Yeah.
Don't just sequence it. Oh, you want to go to the moon first or Mars? Go to both. You want to go to the comet or an asteroid? Go to both. Yeah. All right. Get a warehouse of all different kinds of rockets. And then you just knock on the door. Where do you want to go today, Sonny? Oh, I want to explore life on the backside of Mars. Oh, that's this rocket strapped to this rocket. This, and boom, there you go. And how about you, ma'am? Okay, I'd like to do, I want to set up a new, I want to go mining on asteroids. Well, here we got this. It'll get you to an asteroid. And this one is gold rich. This is water rich. By the way, water in space is highly valuable, because it can keep you alive the way gold can't. So I'm looking at gold and water, and you're saying, choose the gold. And I'm saying, I'm in space. You know, if you don't drink water for like a week, you're basically dead. So just...
I feel like California is about to find out the same exact lesson, where that water is going to about to become more valuable than gold. So.
You're going to want to know how to lasso a comet, okay, to get through to the future as your water table gets sucked dry.
Neil, thanks so much for taking the time to get us all hyped up about it.
Excellent. And I'll be there ready for you.
I would have said Neptune if I had the blank check. I want to know more about Triton, but that's just me.
That's very specific.
I've got a 4-year-old who's obsessed with The Planets, a BBC show by Professor Brian Cox. And yes, we watch it, and he like can't get enough Neptune. And I'm like, yeah, let's go, man. Like whatever it takes.
Wow. So okay, that's good. That's very specific, but good. I like it.
Anyway, thanks so much for your time, man.
All right. Take care.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.